set you free. First it'll freak you out. Lately I've been finding it in words long written down. What we need now is all those who will come alive, who know the whole world will change in the blink of an eye.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally Elcordy, and you are listening to Vaccine Free America. Just this week, we have protests in Ohio, Michigan, Colorado, Vancouver in Canada, Idaho, South Africa, Mumbai, Pakistan, India, and Germany in regard to the lockdown. Because of the COVID-19, or as it used to be known in the good old days, just a few weeks ago, the coronavirus. So I just wanted to give people an update about what's going on. And that's just what I know about. When you Google it or even DuckDuckGo it, you're not going to find information about this. So I am in touch with people all over the world and in, of course, many different states. And this is the word on the street, if you will. Okay. Well, I'm going to welcome my honored guest and former host of a show called Healing Your World. I believe that's the name of it. For many years on this station, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, her name is Mary Toko, and she is a phenom. I'm always have a great interview with Mary. So welcome, Mary Toko.
Nice to be with you again, Sally, and nice to be back on RBN, my old radio station network.
Well, you have a site, it's called Childhood Shots. And you have free information. You sell DVDs. It's childhoodshots.com. And if people use the code, if I'm VAX 2020, they will save 50% right now. Am I correct?
Yes, that would be on my whole DVD series. A couple of years back, I completely updated my DVD series, which is history from the very beginning of when we first started vaccinating in this country in the 50s, all the way up to date. It's a 6-part DVD series. It is also available on download, but if you order the series in hard copy DVD, I will take 50% off of the price to get that in your hands. This is a great way to share information with those you care about, those that are in your circle, who are still on the fence or still concerned or don't know who to listen to or what to believe. And Sally, I put so many resources in this DVD series that there's no way someone could possibly watch this and not know more than any other physician out there, probably on the face of the earth, because it is about 40 years of my research fully documented with medical, scientific graphs, charts, everything's referenced. So this is not based on my opinion. It's based on 40 years of research. And so you can have that at the comfort of your living room to watch with friends or family for literally 50% off, which is $30.
I'm thinking this would be an incredible gift for someone who is having a baby at a baby shower.
Absolutely.
What a wonderful gift that would be.
Mm-hmm. And then I also produced a book released at the beginning of this year called Natural Immune Development, A Deeper Understanding. And this book was, for many, many years, people are always asking me, if you don't vaccinate, how do you promote health naturally? How do you protect your children? So this book, again, is an accumulation of a lot of knowledge that I've acquired by studying under immunologists and also studying health from a holistic point of view. And I identify how a baby develops their immune system in the womb, how it begins to develop once they're outside the womb, how we can support it. I identify things that interfere with natural immune development. Of course, vaccinations and medications is the top of the list. But this is for anybody who is considering not vaccinating their children anymore, or who isn't vaccinating and wants to understand how to establish a healthy immune system. This is also for people who are immune compromised or who want to just promote their health so that they're running around feeling confident instead of fearful with all of these viruses that are now coming out.
You are more knowledgeable than almost anyone I know in the whole wide world. So I'm going to ask you a tough question. Mm-hmm. People who have the MTHFR, which depletes their ability to detoxify, yes. How is there any way that can be reversed?
I believe there is. First of all, that has more to do with our epigenetics than our genes. Our genes are kind of like the hard copy. They're like the hardware of a computer. Epigenetics is more like the software. We can get glitches in it, and when those glitches happen, the computer will not express itself properly and will malfunction in some of its programming. We are the same way. And a wonderful video, which I will put in here as a link, if you go on YouTube, and the video is simply called Epigenetics, and it's the story of two identical twins who are raised very differently. So when they get back together 30 years later, they look very different, but yet they're identically the same. Epigenetics is more about what our body, how our body responds to the environment, to the toxic exposures we're involved. You know, obviously we're all being exposed to toxins, our ability to detox the body. And so the MTHFR gene malformation or SNP is very, very common. I believe that based on my research, 25% of the population have this MTHFR genetic SNP, which then inhibits their ability to detox. It actually shuts down detox pathways. It also interferes with their ability to metabolize certain vitamins like your B vitamins, which of course then leads to illness and sickness. So I'm a big fan of genetic testing, but I think that there's still a lot we don't know. We're still learning a lot, but I personally have been checked. I myself have a couple MTHFR SNPs. There could be many of them. But what that does, Sally, is it sets us up for problems and difficulties in life. So it's still a fairly new science, but I think there's a lot of validity in it. And I think that these children who get vaccinated and end up on the autism spectrum or end up with depression, anxiety, you know, seizure disorders, it's mainly because their epigenetic has been switched off in the case of the MTHFR. There's a lot of other SNPs that can take place that can also then interfere with our health. It's really the way that we manifest health in this life.
Well, thank you very much for that. I know your daughter and you have embarked on a foundation, and I would like very much for you to speak about that.
Sure. So one of our frustrations is that in America, we use more vaccines than any other country. We have more doctors, more nurses, more hospitals, more supplies, more equipment than any other country in the world. You would think that our children would be the healthiest kids on the planet. But that is actually not what's happening. Currently, statistically, 52% of our children in our country under the age of 18 are on psychotropic drugs, chronic illness medications. They suffer with learning disabilities, obesity, seizure disorders, asthma, all different stages of autism, depression, all of it. And we believe that is a direct result of what we are doing to our children from the day that they are born in this country. So my daughter started a 501c3 called the Foundation for Pediatric Health. And so the purpose of this is that we're dedicated to raising awareness about the alarming rise of the chronic illness plaguing this generation of kids. And we do this by carefully examining the reasons why more American children die the first year of life than 32 other modern countries. Why are babies dying not only at, you know, like 1 or 2 months old, but 6, 8, 10, 12 months old? We have babies dying in this country more than 32 other modern countries. So we consider the environmental factors, the over-medicating of our children, of course, processed foods, GMOs, glyphosate. But the biggest issue that we feel is causing this is the vaccine schedule, along with the use of antibiotics the first year of life. And so our goal is to identify these things, raise awareness, and then I provide lectures for doctors, nurses, autism groups, mommy groups, holistic groups, on how can we then reverse this process. Identifying the problems and then bringing solutions to the table is what we're all about. In fact, my program that aired on RBN for 5 years was called Healing Our World. And on that program, I interviewed every kind of specialist, doctor, research scientist, anyone you can imagine that could identify problems we're having, and then we brought solutions to the table. And that's really what the gist of my radio show is all about.
Now, the foundation, what exactly, so these are the issues that you're addressing.
Yes.
But as a foundation, do you raise funds, and what do you put the money towards this research, or do you, some foundations fund other nonprofits? So I don't know how you're set up.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I want to say that our website was recently hit very hard. My daughter manages about 5 websites, and she had to take them all down. And then the process of taking them all down to figure out what was going on, a lot of our files got corrupted. So we're in the process of rebuilding the foundation for pediatric health. But people can get a hold of that foundation through me. I am the vice president. But one of the things we just did recently is we put out a brochure called Aborted Baby Tissue and Vaccines, A Moral and Ethical Dilemma. And I have that brochure available for anyone who wants to see how we are using aborted baby tissue to develop vaccines. And it's well documented. This whole booklet is designed to raise awareness. If you're a Christian or a Jewish person or just anyone who's very moral and believes that abortion is wrong, we need to get this out to the clergy, to the priests. We need to inform other Christians who are not aware that when you take a vaccination, you are actually getting DNA from an aborted child. And so this is very dangerous. There are no studies whatsoever done to see how this will affect the human body. We now are starting to see evidence that it is causing gender confusion as well as hormonal imbalances in our children. And so again, this is something that pharmaceutical companies have been doing for many, many, many years. Right now, according to Dr., I'm going to quote her. Let's see, where's her quote? Give me a second, I'll find her quote. She's a doctor who has written and done a lot about this. Dr. Deischer is her name. And I know I've got it here. Okay, here it is. The practice of using aborted fetal cells for vaccines and drug production creates wrenching moral dilemmas for parents and consumers, ignores informed consent rights, and exposes our children and ourselves to contaminants lacking safety evaluation. We cannot ignore this issue in good conscience, and we cannot afford to wait furthermore. It is unconscionable that the public health risks of injecting our children with residual contaminating human aborted fetal DNA has been ignored. And she is the president of Sound Choice Pharmaceutical Institute, Dr. Deischer. So there are more and more physicians who are becoming aware of this. They are shocked. They're trying to do whatever they can to sound the alarm. So Sally, the biggest thing I want to get across to people is, number one, we must maintain our religious exemption to vaccinations. This is a religious exemption for vaccines. I am a Christian. I do not believe abortion is right. I believe it's a sin. I don't want to eat aborted baby tissue. I don't want it put in my food. And I definitely don't want it injected in myself or in my children, because I believe it has not been studied for safety issues. And I believe it's going to cause severe immune problems for everybody.
Well, you believe it has not been studied for safety issues. There are no studies proving that it's safe, so or unsafe. There are just no studies, as far as I know.
No, they're not, because you see, our pharmaceutical cartel does not have any interest in studying the dangers of vaccines because they are shielded from all liability. They cannot be sued. If your child dies in front of your face in a doctor's office, you cannot sue. So they have absolutely no reason to do safety studies because they have no financial liability. And, you know, Nancy Grace, the famous attorney on television, she was unaware that you cannot sue pharmaceutical companies for any vaccine injuries. And she was shocked.
She was thunderstruck. She actually was like, did you just say, could you say that again?
I know. So if Nancy Grace, our famous, you know, attorney on television, doesn't know this, how many doctors don't know this? How many people and parents don't know this? And so the deeper you look into vaccine safety issues and vaccine toxicity and vaccine ingredients and all of the problems that come out of vaccinations, the more you realize that vaccinations are not helping us, they're causing more harm and more injury than anything that medical science has ever brought on Earth.
Do you know if they have added the hepatitis A to the infant schedule?
I believe they have, yes. Oh. It was a couple of years ago they added it, which increased the amount of aluminum that a baby is being exposed to now. Absolutely. So,
well, I was talking to, we have an empty stroller walk the first Sunday in March all over the world. And if you're not aware of it, I hope you participate any Sunday. It doesn't have to be the first Sunday, you know, any Sunday, any week. But nonetheless, we do try to educate people. And the last person I spoke to was a father with an infant. And unfortunately, the whole family was with him. So I started a conversation just with him, and he was interested. And then the mother-in-law comes out and tries to shut me up. And I finally just said, your mother-in-law has received no more than 5 doses of vaccines in her whole lifetime. And unless she went on to get the flu shot, you know, that infant is going to receive 33 doses in year one. And if you include doses given to pregnant women, that could include up to 8 additional doses. And now the hepatitis A, is that part of the 33 or is that our 34th dose in infancy?
Well, infants usually get somewhere between 36 and 42 vaccinations by the time they are 2 years of age.
Okay, and are you counting doses or shots?
I'm counting doses.
Okay.
When you combine them together, for example, you can get 4 and 5 vaccines in one shot. They're combining them. I call them cocktails. So you can get an MMR, hepatitis A. You can get the DTaP right there. That is 3-7 vaccines in one injection.
No kidding.
Oh, no kidding. Absolutely.
7 in 1?
Yes, they have 3. They have all different combinations available now. And their goal is to get as many in the baby as possible. And obviously, moms and dads are going to let you sit there and inject your child, you know, 13 times in a visit. So in order to get all the vaccines in, they combine them into combination vaccines, which I call cocktails. And then there are no safety studies done on how these combined vaccinations will respond to each other, to your child, short-term, long-term. And there are no studies to see how all of this garbage put into the baby's muscle will affect the child systemically. How does it affect their stomach, their gut, their liver, their kidneys, their bladder, their brain, their lungs? And that's...
We'll be right back with Mary Toko. You're listening to Vaccine Free America on republicbroadcasting.org.
I think it's time we open up our eyes and our hearts. Let a light shine so bright, there's no one left here in the dark.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Open up our eyes and our hearts. Little light shines so bright, there's no one left here in the dark.
Hello, hello. This is Sally Old Cordy, and you're listening to Vaccine Free America on republicbroadcasting.org. My honored guest is Mary Toko of childhoodshots.com, and she has recently started a foundation, but she's also written a book. Would you like to speak about your book, Mary?
I would love to. Sally, I think one of the hardest things for parents to do when they learn about the dangers of vaccines is to understand how to raise your children without vaccines. And I don't give medical advice, but I'm a huge advocate of natural immunity, and I've studied under immunologists and my book, which is called Natural Immune Development, A Deeper Understanding of Our Immune System, was written for parents who want to understand how the immune system functions and what that looks like. I'll give you a quick example. People are taught that the fever is dangerous. They're taught that at 101, they should interfere and interrupt that process and give them a fever reducer like Tylenol. And that's absolutely, in my opinion, and many immunologists do not believe that that's even sound advice. At 101, the body produces something called interferon. Interferon's job is to stop viral replication and inhibit cancer cells. So why would we want to interfere a fever at 101 if it's doing what it's intended to do? At 102, the baby's body is heating up to a point where it's burning off bacteria that cannot live at 102 degrees. That does not cause brain injury. A brain injury usually does not occur in a normal fever, and most other countries do not even interfere with the fever until it's up to 104 or 105, and they're very careful how they interfere with that fever. So that information is in my book, along with references and research. That's one example of, if you understand the role of a fever in the human body and you allow it to do what it's meant to do, your child will develop long-term immunity. Without that, you're crippling your child's immune system. If you are constantly interfering with that child's immune system function, you are causing your child greater harm. Their immune system will not be strengthened, and they will end up having problems with their immune system. We cannot shortcut the system. So
I would like to back you up there in terms of the rate of autism in Cuba. In Cuba, you have to have a medical doctor's note in order to get Tylenol or whatever that
acetaminophen.
And they have 298 times less autism than we have in this country. That is huge, because you're not interfering with when you inject a child, you are infecting this child. So you have to let the natural body responses address it without disabling it and depleting glutathione, which is what you're doing, right? You're lessening. Now, I wanted to ask you to address the umbilical cord clamping and why it's important to wait, please.
Okay. I would like to mention before I go into that on my website under health articles, I have many articles that people can pull up, read, and learn. One of them is removing amalgam fillings, flu shot, and pregnancy side effects of acetaminophen. So acetaminophen is in about 90 medications we use in this country. Acetaminophen is what is outlawed in Cuba and other countries around the world. It is the active ingredient in Tylenol, and acetaminophen shuts down four metabolic pathways in the brain that are responsible for detoxing the body. I would never, ever, ever want to give a child Tylenol with acetaminophen. So you have to learn how to understand the role of the fever and understand when it becomes a danger to the child, and it's usually because of dehydration. And again, in my book, I go into all of this. And again, I don't give medical advice. I'm just telling parents, you need to make informed decisions for your children, because they're counting on you. They're coming into a toxic world, and they're coming into we don't know what the future of this country or the world is with all of these Frankenviruses now. It's really important that they develop a strong immune system so that they can adapt to their environment and do very, very well as adults. So as far as, cutting the cord before you should, again, this is information in my book. I learned within the last couple of years that when a child is born, you should allow the umbilical cord to pulse and let the placenta deliver all of the blood into the baby through the umbilical cord before you clamp it and cut it. The reason is that blood is full of stem cells. And that baby will get millions and millions of its natural stem cells through that cord blood. And those stem cells, their job is to go throughout the whole circulatory system of that baby and repair any little tears or any kind of problem within the circulatory system. They're like little Pac-Men. They go and they clean it up. So when babies are born in hospitals, the hospitals, of course, they don't even acknowledge this. The first thing they do as soon as that baby's out is they clamp that cord and cut it within 30 seconds. Therefore, that child is not only getting the blood it's supposed to get, but it's missing out on all those wonderful stem cells. So that's just one thing I talk about in my book on how we interfere with children and their immune system and their bodies. You know, the whole process of birth can literally set our children up for problems if we don't understand all of these important parts of the birth process.
And how long should you wait before you clamp that cord?
The cord will actually pulse. It's amazing. It actually pulses. And when it stops pulsing, you know it's safe to cut it. And that can take anywhere from 10 to 12 to 15 minutes. I've been to many, many births. I think you might know I had 4 home births myself. And sometimes that placenta takes a while to empty. But in the meantime, mom should be bonding with baby. There should be no fuss about it. And then eventually it'll stop pulsing. And that's when you cut the cord.
Thank you very much. Now, also, the baby should not be washed directly after being born, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. They will come out with a milky-like film all around them, which is packed full of antibacterial, immune-boosting chemicals and enzymes. It is designed to literally absorb into the child's skin. Years ago, you know, we didn't know better. Babies were washed off with soap and water and whatever. Now, mothers just let that baby be. You don't have to bathe a baby within the first 24 hours of them being born. You rub that into their body. It's like lotion for their skin, and it's packed full of immune-boosting and protective enzymes from the mother's womb. So things are very different now than they were years ago because we know so much more about what's going on in the delivery process.
Also, you had mentioned last time we spoke that basically what was laid out was that every process they put you through in a hospital is deleterious to your child.
Well, let's put it this way. For centuries, babies were born at home with midwives. There was no medical intervention. There was no episiotomies, no vitamin K shots, no acid in the eyes. It was very, very natural. And that's not to say babies didn't die. There were a lot of babies that died because this was also before they knew about bacteria and really personal hygiene. But in the best case scenario, a baby is born into a clean environment where they're not exposed to super germs and super bugs and all kinds of chemicals. In a hospital, a baby is born in an area where there are super germs, super bugs everywhere. Doctors are usually using chemicals on mothers. All kinds of procedures are done. You talk about the episiotomies. I go into all of this in my book about why it is important to have as natural of a birth as possible. And so I just encourage parents to become fully informed before they have their children, if at all possible, and just know what you're going into. I cover ultrasounds, the dangers of ultrasounds, what we know and what we don't know, all of the things that they want to recommend that are done to the child and done to the mother that can interfere with the birth process, interfere with the baby's natural immune development, and interfere with the baby being a healthy and vital child. So there's so many things. I mean, Sally, where on earth do you have, under one roof, with no circulation of fresh air, you've got people dead in the morgue below, you've got people in hospital rooms getting cancers, tumors, cysts, and every kind of disease you can imagine being removed. So you have all these decomposing yucky organs in the hospital. You have people on all floors who are all immune compromised. They're on all kinds of medication. You have MRSA and other superbugs that don't respond to normal antibiotics. To me, the most dangerous place for a baby to be born is in a hospital.
I agree, totally. So now I know in New York State, children are required to receive the vitamin K. And I have seen an insert for one of them which stated the second component is polysorbate 80. And that is a sterilization component. So it's like not 100%, could be like 50-50. But the minute you're born, you have a 50-50 chance of procreating. I mean, this to me is so startling. And there's nothing else in there is good. Not even the vitamin K is authentic. What would you recommend if a parent is faced with this decision? Is there an alternative that hospitals will help you with?
First of all, I do believe that it's hospital policy. It's not the law. And the reason they suggest vitamin K shots is because an infant's blood is very thin, which is how it's designed to be the first 7-8 days of life. So the vitamin K shot is really there for boys that are going to get circumcised. It started out with boys who were getting circumcised because, boy, you know, obviously blood is very thin the first 6, 7, 8 days of life. By the way, Sally, that is when the Jewish people circumcise is on day 8 because they know it is safer to do it then than the first or second day that they are born. So I think it's really more common. The reason it started was for boys getting circumcised. But then I guess they figured out that, hey, let's give it to the girls too. And what it's supposed to do is it's supposed to stop internal bleeding because it thickens the blood. But really, how is a child going to have problems with internal bleeding if they have a normal natural birth without doctor intervention or without suction birth or forceps? Now, how are they going to have internal bleeding? It's very, very rare, and it used to be only used for people who had some sort of trauma, like a car accident while they were pregnant. But anyway, statistically, 117 babies die each year from complications following circumcision, and many deaths are not reported, so the numbers are most likely higher. But I think if you're going to have a child, a baby boy, number one, look into circumcision. It is a medical procedure. I have 3 sons. I opted to not circumcise them. You do have that option. If you're going to circumcise them, why don't you wait till perhaps the 8th day, like the Jewish people do when the blood naturally thickens up? But the blood is supposed to be thin while it's going through that baby the first 7 days of life.
So there is no reason whatsoever to give it to girls. So half of the children they're giving it to, and there is also they should be waiting until the 8th day. So again, it's unnecessary when the child is born. So this is very, you know, we have to let people know this. Now, of course, a lot of people know at this point that the hepatitis B vaccine was designed for prostitutes and drug users, and they rejected it. And from what I understand from an autism mother who spoke at one of my events, she said that when asked why this was approved for children, the answer was because we can. They yeah. had all these extra vaccines. They were being rejected by the people they were designed for. Let's give them to the infants the day they're born. It is unbelievable.
It is. It's very unscientific. One more comment. If somebody would like to get my paper I wrote on vitamin K shots, they can request it at my email, which is mary@marytoco.com, M-A-R-Y at And then my name is Mary Tocco, T-O-C-C-O.com. And another thing I'd like to mention, you mentioned polysorbate 80. Polysorbate 80 opens up the blood-brain barrier and is therefore not safe at any level. It's a man-made chemical. It has health concerns related to the presence of polysorbates and impurities related to the ingredients, including complications with cancer, skin allergies, developmental toxicity, and reproductive toxicity. So if you look at the package inserts, they do not include what I call a black box warning, although several reactions and extremely rare, but they are known to happen after the vitamin K shot. Another thing I would mention is most doctors and nurses are not even looking for a correlation between vitamin K shots and problems with children the first week of life. It's like totally off the radar. Okay.
What about jaundice? So many of the children are jaundiced when they are born.
Again, it goes back to mother's liver function. If you use Tylenol or anything with acetaminophen while you're developing your fetus, Dr. William Shaw, who is a researcher, owns a laboratory. I reference his paper on my website, The Dangers of Acetaminophen. He says that when a baby gets acetaminophen while it's developing in your womb, it actually kills the baby's liver cells. So first of all, mothers have to stop and ask, you know, what is my doctor recommending I take while I'm pregnant? How could this affect my child? You know, is this going to pass into the placenta and cause issues for my developing baby? Years ago, Sally, we were told that when you were pregnant, you didn't do any medication or drugs. You stayed off of all of it. And you didn't smoke and you didn't drink. They were very strict about that. Now, for some reason, it's okay to take medication. It's okay to take vaccinations while you're pregnant. And all of this can affect the liver of the child. So as far as children being born with jaundice, sunshine helps the body to remove the bilirubin. There's a lot that you can do for them. I had several babies. They were born at home. And about day 3 or 4, they'd start to get a little yellow. And, of course, we would, you know, lay them in front of the sunshine. Even if it was winter, we'd put them on the floor on a nice blanket where the sun was coming into the room. And none of my babies had any complications. Within a day or two, they started to improve. But that's something, if you feel like your child has severe jaundice, you definitely seek medical attention. But know what you're doing. Do a lot of research before you do that. Some jaundice, I feel, is fairly normal. Breastfeeding is the best thing you can do for a jaundiced baby.
And what are the benefits of breastfeeding?
Oh my goodness. Well, I have a whole chapter on that. There is nothing that takes the place of breast milk. There, for the first 2 or 3 or 4 days, the baby is getting colostrum. Colostrum actually helps support good bacteria that the baby picked up, hopefully during the vaginal birth process. The good colostrum is perfect for that baby's gut flora. It helps to colonize the flora from the throat all the way down through the lower intestine. And then when that milk comes in, the milk is absolutely perfect for the baby. It has the right types of fats and the right sugars. It also has, from what I understand, it also has some stem cells in it. So breast milk is perfect food for the baby, and I believe the first 12 months of life. None of my babies started getting any kind of food from the table until they were at least 12 months of age. And then, of course, there's a proper way to introduce foods. I have a lot of those articles on my website under Raising Children. And so there's so much to being a parent. And the more information we have, the better parent we're going to be and the healthier our children are going to be. And so I just tell parents to always learn about everything. And before you put anything in their mouth or in their body, look at it carefully and look for any toxicity and anything that could possibly harm your child.
Ultrasounds, how do they affect children?
Well, it's one of those things that we don't have a whole lot of science on. There are many scientists who believe that sound wave can actually interfere with cell reproduction. I chose to not have ultrasounds when I was having my children. I encourage my children who are having kids to avoid them. Ultrasounds were initially designed to look at problem pregnancies for children who might be deformed or whatever. They were never, ever intended to be used as they are today routinely. Ultrasounds might protect the doctor from liability issues, but they do not protect the baby for anything. The question I ask, and I ask this of my own children, if you get an ultrasound and the doctor says something doesn't look right, are you going to abort the baby? And they always say, of course not, because ultrasounds can be wrong. So I say, then why are you doing them? For who are you doing them? What if the sound waves are causing collapsing cells? Or what if when you're doing the ultrasound, the baby is dividing cells to make liver cells or kidney or spinal bones or their pancreas or their brain? We don't know enough about it. There's not been enough studies on it to know the full ramifications of it. So I err on the side of safety. For years and years and years and years, women had their babies. They never used an ultrasound. And, you know, now we have these gender reveal parties. This is something new to me because I have young daughter-in-laws. And one of the reasons they want these ultrasounds is so that they know what they're having, so they can have a gender reveal party. And, you know, that sounds wonderful, but what if it's causing harm to your child? Do you not think about that and consider that in your decision to have ultrasounds? And I know some moms will say, well, I want one maybe at 3 or 4 months to find out the sex of my child, fine. Go ahead and have that one. But to do them routinely throughout the whole pregnancy, oh my gosh. I just feel that it's an abuse of an instrument that was intended for good in extreme cases where children could be having difficulty developing.
Now, sometimes when the mother is older, they recommend another procedure to see if the child is, I guess, well. What is that called? Where they
they go in and they actually get fluid from the womb.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you think of that?
Well, again, I don't always buy this idea that if you're in your late 30s, early 40s, that your child has got a, you know, higher chance. I personally believe it has a lot more to do with the woman's health. I personally believe that women who are really healthy can still have healthy children when they're in their late 30s, early 40s. Amniocentesis is where they go in and they pull fluid and then they analyze the fluid. Again, that is a personal decision that only moms and dads can make. The question is, if the doctor tells you that the child could be Down syndrome, are you going to abort that baby? Because there are hundreds and hundreds of parents who were told that their baby was going to be Down syndrome and it didn't happen. An example is my niece. My niece has 8 children. Her 7th child, they did an ultrasound at some point and they told her that they felt her baby. I think it was at about 4 or 5 months during her pregnancy. They told her that we believe your child is Down syndrome. And of course, she and her husband figured, well, if this is the case, we'll just deal with it. This is our child. But she carried that stress with her for the rest of her pregnancy. And it was on her mind when she was in the birthing process. And that baby came out so fast, and he was a beautiful, healthy boy. No sign of Down syndrome.
Oh.
Okay. So, in fact, he was born in the car on the way to the hospital. They never made it. But the point is she carried that stress with her and grieved and thought, oh, my gosh. You know, she started doing research on Down babies, how long they live, what are their difficulties. What are some of the problems? You know, there's different levels of Down syndrome. And bottom line is, that baby was so normal, that child did not have Down syndrome. So imagine if she would have opted to abort that baby.
Yeah, exactly. I remember my mother was told before she went into an operation that she only 95% she wouldn't survive it. And I thought, my God, they could have given her a heart attack. She could have died from a heart attack for being told that before she went into an operation.
Absolutely.
And I felt that it was very self-serving of the doctor to say that. So if anything went wrong, he wouldn't be culpable, you see?
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a caller, Joe from Michigan. May I take this call, Mary?
Absolutely.
Okay, welcome, Joe from Michigan.
Hey, actually, I'm a Colorado kid, but hey, Sally,
oh,
Sally,
right. Yes, hi,
Sally,
Joe.
Sally.
Well, you know, Mary grew up in Michigan, by the way, Joe.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes, I actually helped start Michigan Opposing Mandatory Vaccines, and I was the director of vaccine research and education for, gosh, 25 years, and then I resigned because I moved to South Carolina, and they are now known as Michigan for Vaccine Choice. And they are rocking it in Michigan.
Right. That's right, baby. Hey, fantastic. That's huge news. Wow, you're a rock star. You know, that's fantastic. And I know the group. I'm just so happy to hear this.
They were very active, were they not, recently in the stadium? They had a big protest against vaccinations right at the stadium. Did you see that, Mary?
I did. They're really, really rocking it in Michigan. You see, they have 3 exemptions available to them, the medical, the religious, and the philosophical exemption. And that is because our group, which was Michigan Opposing Mandatory Vaccine, upheld that for 25 years. We fought to keep that in Michigan. And now it's Michigan for Vaccine Choice. They have an incredible group of active parents who are not going to let the Michigan people pull anything on them. They're not going to let them. I mean, we're working really hard in Michigan to maintain those rights.
Nice. Well, you know, that kind of leads me to another area here in Michigan, which, of course, as you know, there's so many hospitals, of course, Henry Ford and on and on. The thing is, there are, you know, countless medical workers that, you know, again,
Hold on, everyone. We'll be right back with on Vaccine Free America with Joe Jones and Mary Toko, our guest.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are back with Mary Toko, who is going to address Ingrid Castle, who, by the way, has the very next show, Ingrid Castle Immunize Wisely, follows my show on Republic Broadcasting Network. And she asked a question in regard to jaundice and the vitamin K, which Mary will address, and Joe will just hang on while she does that.
Okay, so according to the manufacturer's inserts, the adverse reactions include death have occurred in intramuscular and intravenous injections, flushing sensation, dizziness, rapid and weak pulse, profuse sweating, hypotension, dyspnea, swelling at the injection site, allergic sensitivity, scleroderma-like skin lesions that persist for long periods, hyperbilirubin anemia has occurred in newborns following the administration of vitamin K injection, which is jaundice. So think about this. The liver is what filters our blood. If something is injected into the muscle of a child, then it is picked up by an organ called the inner system, which is the fluid highway pathway system in the human body. It circulates whatever that is around the whole body. And at some point, the liver ends up having to filter it out of the blood. So it doesn't surprise me that jaundice is a direct reaction to the vitamin K injection. Plus, vitamin K injections contain benzyl alcohol as well as aluminum and other man-made things that do not belong in the human body. So whenever you have the presence of aluminum, you can end up with skin-like lesions that persist. You can end up with things like microvascular ischemia, meaning the blood vessels pop because of the aluminum that's in the blood vessels causing a reaction. So there's a lot of things that can happen when you get a vitamin K injection.
It seems like it comes with a black box warning, does it not?
I don't think it does, but it should. It should.
I think it does. I think it's the only shot that comes with one.
We'll look into that.
I'll look into that, but I've always been told that that's the only one that comes with a black box warning. I think they all should. However, Joe, do you have a specific question for our guest, Mary Toko?
You know, actually I do, and I'll make this really brief. I know you've only got a couple minutes here. What I was getting ready to kind of address is the situation here in Michigan with, of course, all these, you know, that thousands of medical workers that are being forced, of course, at the threat of their own jobs to take vaccines. As horrible as that is, and I know, you know, of course, people, they get sick every year that they force them to take these vaccines. What's worse, though, is Bill Gates just, what, about a week ago made it clear that as they roll out their new vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine, that in fact it will be the medical workers that will be some of the very first to start to be kind of doled out this brand new, very much un...
It don't matter how small. This I know above all else, love conquers all. With the power of love, all I come to love, I power. And then the world will start anew. Will love and kindness will be stronger by the hour. And then we're coming, you best start running.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.